Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
And tonight, we have our we have the Maureen Scanlon, who is a life coach. And Maureen Scanlon is the founder and CEO of Maureen Scanlon Life Coaching. She's an author, relationship expert, motivational speaker, positive change integrator, spiritual coach, who has successfully helped many people from exceptional professionals to adults make positive changes to overcome past experiences and negative thinking. Now, one of the things that you seem to put emphasis on is taking the lead from the animals in our lives. And how to basically, because your book is My Dog is More Enlightened Than I Am. Why don't you explain to me and Barbara, and maybe Barbara has a question for you, about why you chose dogs?
Well, I was just one day sitting around, and I was, you know, kind of stressed out for my job. I work from home, and I have a 9-to-5 job that I do as well, besides the life coaching. And I was stressed out, and I watched my dogs just playing in the yard and randomly grabbing this toy. And I just was thinking, all of a sudden I had this kind of epiphany moment. And I thought, wow, that's so simple, how easily they enjoy life, and why don't we do that? So I started really observing all the different things that they do and how they care for one another, how they're there to comfort me when I'm sick or I'm sad. And I just realized they have such short lives because they live such a pure, unconditionally loving life, and we could really take our lead from them and live our lives the same way.
Wow. That is a really interesting approach, and I believe it. I believe that is true, that we can learn so much from our pets.
Oh, definitely. You know, in the book, I talk about all the different ways of, you know, the spontaneity. You know, if you ever notice your dog just standing for a moment, all of a sudden they start chasing their tail just randomly. They didn't think about it. They didn't overthink it. They didn't have a plan. They just did it. You know, they don't wake up in the morning
right.
And go, oh, where's my next meal coming from? Or, you know, how do I shoot for my goals for tomorrow? They don't care about yesterday and they don't care about tomorrow. They're just in the moment.
That's why
they're so happy. And we need to do the same thing. It's just live for today, because today is all we have, and this is what's important.
And don't we love people when we see a person that's doing something like that, a dog would chase the tail just like out of nowhere? We love a person who's just like all of a sudden has energy and says something funny or like, hi, you know, just we love those types of people that are in the moment, not going through life with their head down, oh, woe is me, look what's just happened, and, you know, I don't have enough grocery money, you know, all that. So that is really cool that came to you. Wow.
Yeah, it's the way that, and it's really simple, but, you know, as humans, we overthink everything, and we think we have to, you know, when it comes to decisions or taking risks, we have to sit and contemplate it for weeks or have a plan. Let's make a spreadsheet about it. And, you know, I'm just here to say when I do this with my life coaching and, you know, when I wrote about it in the book, I really just wanted everyone to have that mentality of just live for today, just have fun. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And that's
right.
How you guide your decisions. You just go through life saying, if it feels good to do it, that's what I'm going to do. And I don't have to question it. I'll be guided by my emotions. And when I'm in a good place, then I'm supposed to be doing that. And that's
isn't
actually
that what they
how
call
I
your
go.
Higher power?
Right? I mean, that's how I wrote the book in 8 weeks. Everyone said, oh, wasn't it hard to write a book? And I said, honestly, it was the easiest thing I ever did. And I never aspired to be a writer. I always felt I was verbally more adept. And I honestly would sit down on the days that I felt like writing and it felt good. And I would write 2,000 words. And if I woke up the next day and really didn't feel inspired or feel like writing, I didn't, because I don't want to ever force anything in my life that doesn't bring me joy. So if you go way, that route, that's what brings you joy and what makes your life so much more joyful and fulfilled.
Wow, that's wonderful. So when you get, say, a person for the first day for your life coaching, they hire you for life coaching, do you sit them down and ask them questions? How does it begin? How do you find out about them and how to coach their life? How does that work?
Oh, well, normally I do a clarity call at first. So they'll find me online, they'll find my contact information, and then I'll set up a call. And I'll do a 30-minute call to kind of get a feel for what's going on in your life. Why do you feel you need life coaching, and where are you stuck? What changes do you want to make? What kind of goals do you have? And it's interesting how humans think. Humans like to narrow everything down to one thing. So I usually have a client that will say, I need career coaching. And I'll say, okay, well, let's expand on that. Where are you at? How did you get to where you are? Why are you wanting to change your career? And it ends up being what exactly it is life coaching. We figure out that you have some false beliefs about yourself. You're not willing to take risks. You don't have a great relationship with money, so you're afraid to leave a job to get a better job. You know, you have dreams that you don't even know yet. We haven't discovered your purpose. And so it's really interesting. We'll do the clarity call, then we'll meet for the session. And then we just start going through the steps of where are you that makes you feel that something's not working in your life. If you're not completely happy, let's figure out why. And the biggest difference between, you know, therapy and counseling and that versus life coaching is I'm not going to dwell on the things in your life that you feel you haven't done well or you feel you have failed at. I'm going to touch on what got you here, and we're going to move forward to how do we fix these things? How do we get you out of the mindset that you have, the programming, the beliefs, the goals that you haven't reached? I was at a seminar last night, and the lady that gave the seminar was wonderful. She said this, and I think this is the neatest thing. She said, it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not.
Oh.
So I think that's really poignant for all of us, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It's if you don't think you're that person, or you don't think you can reach a goal, or you don't think you're worthy of love and finding a partner that values you. So it all comes down to, what do you think you're not? And that's really what I do. That's the bottom line, is to let's get you thinking about the things that you are and enjoying the greatness that brought you here.
Wow, that really narrows it down right there. That is a perfect question first. And then don't let them ever think about that again, because that's putting it in the universe. And that thought is so powerful, isn't it?
That is exactly right. The law of attraction, we are all energy. So what we think about is what we're going to bring to us. So where attention goes, energy flows. You're just going to continuously bring things to you that you're thinking about.
I love that. Okay, I have now my question about my life. Since you do another, I don't think we touched upon this, but you do another form of, I don't know what you call it, therapy, or you can read. You have a psychic ability. You can read people. Tell us a little bit about what you do, and then what you're gonna do that for me today, right?
Yes, I would love to do that. So I do what's called a spirit guide reading. So a spirit guide reading is your team of spirits. So you have angel guides, you have spirit guides, you have those who passed before you, that they're all watching out for you, and they're there to support you. Your higher self is in spirit form, and they're there to guide you in life, and they're just waiting for you to ask them what you need and how to help you. So it was funny, I was in a Barnes & Noble one day, and I was just walking down the aisle, and I saw these cards, and they were spirit guide animal cards, and I was completely drawn to them. because I never believed I had any psychic ability or anything, you know, like that. But I would get these messages when I was in front of someone. I was sitting in front of a client once. First visit, before she came, I said, give me a message for this person that I need to help her with on her coaching. And I got a vision of a dirt bike. And I don't know what dirt bikes are. So I said, okay, a motorcycle. And they said, no, a dirt bike. And I said, okay, I don't know what this is. And I sat in front of this young lady at our first session, and I said, I have to tell you this. I asked your spirit team to give me something to give to you. And I said, all I got was dirt bike. And her face just dropped. And I said, are you okay? Is everything okay? Her brother had passed away 2 years prior from diabetes. And she was she rode dirt bikes. She loved dirt bikes. And her brother used to say to her, I don't like you riding those dirt bikes. They're too dangerous. And I'm just afraid something's going to happen to you. And it just so happened that she put the dirt bike up for sale the day she came to see me for her first session. So
that's crazy.
Isn't that neat? And I said, that's your brother validating. He's here with you. He sees what you're doing. And he's happy that you're going to be safe because he wants you to be protected. So that's what we do. We do these spirit guide readings, and they just give us guidance on where you are in your life and what you need to do to keep going on the path that you were meant to walk here when you came into this physical world.
That really must have been a great moment for you to have your gift validated right then and there.
You know, it really is, and they say everybody has a psychic ability, and it's just a practice thing. And, you know, you get signs all the time, and we don't always pay attention to them, and people will call it, you know, coincidence, or they'll call it, premonition or whatever. But it really is your spirit team giving you guidance and giving you clues and hints and saying, hey, I'm right here with you, and I hear what you're saying. I when I do readings for my daughter, I'm very in tune to her spirit team, and I will literally say to her words that she says in her head to herself, and I'll say, they're telling me this question, this certain thing, this certain quote, or I'll say, they tell me that you keep asking them when is enough, and her face will just drop, and she'll say, I just asked them that. I just asked, when is it enough? It is fun. It's a little scary at first, you know, and then you get, like, used to it. So it is it's fun.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I would like to know, okay, I did lose my kitty cat. My daughter and I, we lost our cat. Our cat was killed in October, and we're very sad about it. And I like to have a little animal or, you know, medium-sized animal around to keep me company, and I need to have one, I feel like, for many reasons. And I was thinking of getting a dog this time instead of a cat, and everybody I talk to says, no, don't get one, you're going to regret it. You have to always walk that dog, and sometimes you don't feel like it. And, well, I mean, I grew up with a dog my whole life, and I know what having a dog is like. And I really enjoyed having this dog. And I have not had one in my adult life since then. So do you see a reason why I should not get a dog? And why I should?
While you were speaking, Barbara, I pulled some cards for you. I pulled three cards, and those are your spirit cards. And the very first one is to set healthy boundaries. And what I'm getting from your spirit team is that you have to stop listening to everybody around you, that you are very much influenced by people, what people say to you and what they tell you to do. And you don't always stay in alignment with what you really want. So I'm getting chills because they're validating what I'm saying right now. They're saying to me, she wants this. and she's afraid to just go for it. She's listening to everybody else and all the white noise around her, and she wouldn't have the desire if she wasn't able to make this decision. So they are completely validating. They believe you have the love and the time and the joy to give to an animal. And I definitely believe that this would be something that would bring you that comfort. And like you said, now that you're older, you want that companionship, and you want them there at the end of the day with you or during the day with you. And so that's a very hearty yes from your spirit.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited.
And
because,
I
okay.
Know.
Go, yeah. Well, because I'm on a regular schedule. My daughter's 12. I get up every day at 6:30 or 7. I mean, there's no way around that. So I'm already up. Why can't I walk one? I mean, I'm not one that can even sleep in it, even if I really want to.
Yeah, you are perfectly ready. Your schedule, your routine, everything is ready for that. And they're saying, yeah, don't listen to anybody else. This is something that would bring you and your daughter joy, and you will make it fit into your household. And the beauty of dogs is they adjust to your routine. They adjust to what you want. If you slept until noon, your dog would sleep until noon. So they're just there to accommodate you. That's their whole purpose on this planet. That's why they're so unconditional and pure, is they're here, their purpose, they know what their purpose is, and that's for love and joy to the people that love them. So love that.
You can bring them anywhere. You can fly with them. See, that's what I didn't like about the cat. I'd always have to find a cat sitter, and I'd feel so guilty leaving the cat on our travels. And with the dog, the apartment people said, oh, and they have these stations around here. It's made for a dog. It's like you live in a park here. They have those little stations where they have the little baggies for, their waste, and they make it so convenient. And they said, well, now that you already have had a cat, you've already made the down payment for an animal. And he goes, let me give you a little secret. If you make it a service dog, you don't have to pay pet rent here.
Yes. Yes. And I want to point out, do you see how the universe put all these things in a line for you for this to happen? So here your apartment's like, you've already paid the down payment, so finances aren't a problem. If you want it to be a service dog, you can go through the training, and then you can bring him with you wherever you want to go. So there's absolutely zero excuses. In fact, that's what I'm hearing from your team. They're like, why is she even explaining this? She knows she needs it. She knows she wants it, and there's no excuses. I always tell everyone, don't complain and don't explain. If it's something you want, you do it. So
Thank you. And you know what else I'm excited about is because I don't like to be alone, and I don't feel like when you're with a dog, you're alone. And so that deters me. When I'm alone during the day, when my daughter's at school, I feel like I wish I could go rollerblading, but then I'm alone. You know, if I just had a dog to go with me, it just would be there. I don't know. That's what a service dog is. I need it for the anxiety of going out alone. I feel that I really could benefit, and I would be able to get out to the beach. And it would give me, I see what it does for my friend Elkie. It gets her to the park so she gets fresh air. It gets her out to exercise. Her dog gets her to the beach. Otherwise she feels guilty. I didn't take my dog out and had fun with my dog, And it would get me going out. I mean, I live 4 minutes from the beach, and I hardly ever go.
Oh, yes. See, that's exactly it. So you should be doing anyway. You're not doing it, and having a dog, they're there for you to say, hey, let's get out and have some fun, and they will make you actually go out there and have fun and enjoy life. And that's, again, their purpose is, to do everything they can to help you enjoy your life. And the interesting thing is your card, your third card, is a buffalo spirit, and that is the abundant universe will provide. That tells me the right one will come across your path. So there's going to be a rescue. There's going to be someone that contacts you and says, hey, I have this wonderful dog, and he's a rescue dog, or there's this dog I saw at the pound. He's very sad, and he would be perfect for you. So what I'm hearing is this, your spirit guides are saying the universe is going to line up the exact ones for you. And I always feel like animals are like houses, and you'll see it and you'll just know. So it'll be like, you know, seeing a mate or, you know, someone you just meet for the first time on a first date. You're like, oh, the one, I just know. And I think it'll work that way for you with a dog. So you don't have to try that hard to seek a dog out. I think they're going to find it for you, bring it to you.
Okay, good. Because also, everything was aligned, because even though it was very devastating to lose the kitty in that way, especially, well, the cat for 8 years peed on the beds almost every day. Every other day, I'd have to put tarps on, then move to the couch. It never peed on the carpet. Just wherever we laid, it was trying to tell us, don't leave me. I couldn't even drive her to school. I'd sometimes come back and the cat would have peed on the bed or something. And I'd be washing nonstop bedding, nonstop, and be frustrated. Yeah. It would hold me back for 2 days at a time every time this happened. Not every day, but like once a week for sure. And I mean, vet bills and trying blood tests, and trying to figure out what is wrong with this kitty cat. Didn't have anything wrong with it. It was in the mind. So, you know, that is out of my life. You know, that's out of my life. And that opened up.
Have,
I don't think I would have gotten a dog if I saw the cat.
Right, right. Well, and you know what? Maybe later you'll feel like, oh, that wouldn't be a bad thing to bring a kitten in. Once you have the dog, because they tend to grow and watch one another. They learn from each other. I have the Australian Shepherd, who's older, and then I had gotten Jade, my Chihuahua. She was only 5 months old, and we have a doggy door. And I can say that most Chihuahuas are very hard to housebreak, and they're very nervous, and they're very shaky. I have one of the most unusual Chihuahuas in the world, because she's not afraid of anything. She loves everyone. She started using the doggy door from day one because she watched her brother go in and out. So they're very adaptable. And I have to say this, when you have an animal that passes, and I write about this in the book about transition, when you have an animal that passes, I had a 16-year-old kitty that just took off one day. She was the indoor cat, never left pretty much the living room. And one day, it was before Christmas, she just left. And I hear that they do that at times because they don't want to hurt their owners and die in front of them. They will just take off and they will go somewhere and pass away because it's their time to transition. The reason that they leave us is because they leave room for another animal to come in and be loved. So I believe your cat gave you a gift and said, hey, you know what? I want you to give that love to another animal. And especially if you're an animal lover, I know a lot of people lose animals and say, I'm never going to get another animal. And that's really not what you want to do, because these animals know they have a shorter life than we do. And they want you to give that love to another one that's right behind them. So
Good. Okay. And my daughter will really like it once we get the dog. She really wants a kitty again, but she doesn't understand how wonderful it will be to have a dog.
Yeah, yes. They're just fun, and they bring so much joy. You just watch them, and they just do silly things, which we could also take our lead from is they don't care what anybody thinks about them. They just do what they want to do, and they're very...
Except for if you dress them up. And if you dress them up and laugh at them, they know, and they get all bashful, and they're like, their tail goes between their legs.
they're really funny. My daughter has moved back home. She thankfully was just left a domestic violence situation, a marriage that she was in where there was domestic violence, pretty serious. And she moves back home, and she has a dog, and it's a border collie. And this border collie is a year old, and I call her Derpy because she's just so different from my two, who are very established. And this dog is the funniest dog I've ever seen. It's just, she does the most random things. She throws her balls into the pool, and then she tries to get into the pool and like kind of not swim, but she takes her paws and tries to get the ball back to her so she can get it. Well, yesterday we were outside, and I had given all the dogs a bone, and Callie is her name. She's a black and white border collie, fun, and I call her Snoot because she's got a long snoot, and she uses it, or We call her Derpy. Anyway, she took this bone, went to the first step of the pool, and dropped it in. And my daughter and I looked at each other and said, what in the world is she doing? Well, she was seeing if it floated like her other toys. So it was just so cute to see how her little mind was working. And then she realized it didn't float, and then she tried to stick her whole head in there to get it. And so she's
That's
just
so cute.
So
Yeah, they bring a lot of joy. Just like the simple little things like that brings you so much joy, and we need as much joy as we can get. And, yeah, okay, so I'm doing it, Maureen. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Oh, wow.
I love it. I know your baby is out there. Your furry baby is out there just waiting for that moment where everything's going to be lined up. And it's just going to come, and you're going to be like, oh, there it is. That's what I was waiting for. You've made your mind up now. Now the energy goes to the animal coming to you, and it'll happen.
Okay.
It'll be great.
Because it has to be a mid-sized dog, too, so it can keep up with me on the rollerblades.
Yes. Border collies are really, really good. If you like a mid-sized dog, they're very adaptable. They learn very quickly. They're super smart. They're really funny and super affectionate and protective.
Okay.
So I think
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, that would be my advice, because I've got a big one. I've got an Australian Shepherd and I have a Chihuahua, and then I've got the Border Collie, and both my daughters each have a Border Collie. And so their personalities are so much fun and they're so adaptable.
They are really pretty. I like short-haired dogs, though.
You know, she doesn't shed
very
much.
Long.
She doesn't
They're
have
really
to go
pretty.
To a groomer, and their fur is very silky, so yeah, or something.
They're like a typical, just regular, great dog, aren't they?
Oh, I really like the Border Collies and the Australians, because I love their easygoing personality.
Wow, they are very beautiful. Okay, wow, wonderful advice.
I've heard
this
Chihuahua
is so
great.
You pulled the cards out. Wait, Johnny, what kind of cards does she use? What do you use, Maureen, the cards that you pulled out? Can you do them on Johnny?
Sure. So they're spirit animal oracle cards is what they are. And so, of course, the animals resonate with me, which is, I think, why my connection's so good when I do the cards. So here's how this works, Johnny. So as we're speaking, I like to get your energy, you know, and see what's going on with you. So I'm going to spread the cards, and I just want you to tell me when to stop, because I'm skimming my hand over the cards, and then when you tell me to stop it.
Stop.
Perfect. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, we're going to do your second one. Tell me when to stop.
Okay, stop.
Great. Okay. This one is the pig spirit. Okay, and then finally your last one.
Okay, stop.
All right. So your very first card is, I love it, the starfish spirit. And so the starfish spirit represents open to infinite possibilities. So what they're saying is don't discount anything. They want you to, whatever opportunity has come, you've been questioning a change. You've been questioning something that may have changed that you're not sure about, and they're saying just be open to whatever is coming, whether it's a person or a job or a new business. They want you to not discount it and don't overthink. Don't put your own doubts in that. They want to say if it's in front of you, then it's meant to be for you.
Okay,
and
thank you.
And then the next one is, if you do this, then this keeps you on your path. So the second one for you is use your mind wisely. And this card represents the fact that you sometimes get lost in minutiae, if that makes sense. So sometimes you, I don't like to use labels, but sometimes you squirrel a lot, maybe. You do a lot of maybe ADD thinking kind of thing.
Yes,
so your mind goes a million miles a minute, and they're saying we want you to slow down. We want you to do some meditation where you can get some clarity and focus on the things that matter to you instead of getting distracted by all the other things, all the basically you have, they're giving me this picture of like a bunch of clouds, like a bunch of rain clouds. And in the middle of the rain clouds, there's one really bright, you know, shiny blue cloud. And they're saying that's what we want you to focus on, but you're focusing on all the gray rain clouds around it. So they're guiding me to tell you, just try to be more focused on the things that are important and don't get lost in the things that are not as important. And your last card is, when I do these things, I stay on my path. And when I stay on my path, this is my third card. And your third card is Surrender Now. And this is the Moth Spirit. And Surrender Now, I think you do a lot of internal fighting of your own mind. You do a lot of overthinking. So you have to be in more alignment with who you are in pursuing something or someone. It's becoming sometimes you get obsessed or you can be compulsive about something that you are determined that it's the right thing, and then you lose sight of what they really have in front of you or what your purpose is. So they're saying not to be so so compulsive or so obsessed with one thing that you believe is correct. They're saying they want you to practice moderation in all things. And recognize when you think you're headed toward the light but are really heading into a fire that'll cause burnout. So I think that goes hand in hand with your second card where they're saying we need you to slow down and meditate so you have more clarity and focus. So instead of doing the minutiae and all of the kind of squirreling in the 100 other areas, they're saying we want you to just slow down, we want you to be mindful, and we want you to focus on those things that are of your most desire. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
That's great. Okay. That was like dead on in the beginning too with the change.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. That's awesome.
So
okay.
He needs to really care about his feelings, and because Johnny's the type that just wants to make everybody else happy. That makes him happy, and that's wonderful and fine. But what about what really makes him happy? That's what she was saying, I think. That's really important to focus on, Johnny.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Right. Don't forget about your own self.
That's right. You get lost in worrying more about other people's feelings that you lose your alignment with what you're here to do. And so if we're not taking care of ourselves and really focused on being happy, you can't be there for others and you can't really have like help others, because if you're not at your best place, how can you help others be at their best place? And being more concerned about other people's feelings, even though it seems nice, we don't want to be nice because it's not authentic. So being truthful is being authentic to ourselves.
And truthful to say, look, hey, I'll get to that when I have time. Give me a couple days, or not just say, okay, I'll do it, because then they're going to keep asking you, and then it's going to stress you out, and then you're going to wonder why this person gives you anxiety. So if you do your own work, then that'll save a lot of problems with just dealing with people.
Right. And those boundaries, that boundary card that came up for you, Barbara, is important too. You don't have to say yes to everything. You have the ability and the right to say, no, I cannot do that, or, you know, I'm sorry that that's that's not possible for me today. I have to do something that, you know, is more important for me. And our fear as humans is other people's reaction, and they're going to not think we're nice and we're not giving. But we really need to care more about where we are and how we feel about ourselves and being happy.
Right. And what about, I just don't feel like it. I mean, that's it. My dad used to say, hey, you don't want to do it, say it like it is. I don't want to do it because I don't feel like it. And that is valid, because maybe I don't want to do something that somebody, it means so much to them that I go with them to a certain event or a thing, but I have no interest in it at all. I'm just doing it for them. No, because then I will resent that day. I'll resent them. And, you know, you have to be true to yourself.
Yes, I love that you said that, because that's exactly what will happen is it'll be resentment, and resentment is not a good feeling, because resentment will turn into anger, and then anger will turn into hurt, and then you're going to say something you don't really mean, and then you're going to not be having a good time when you go anyway. So you're absolutely right. That's exactly the path to go. And I love that you said you can say, I just don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. That's speaking your truth. I see a lot of people that say, well, I'm just going to tell them that I have other plans. No, just say, no, I really don't feel like doing that, or that's not something that really interests me, but I really hope you have a great time. As long as we say things with love and compassion, no one can get upset at us for speaking what we believe and what our truth is.
I'm going to really focus on being more assertive, because I was just asked today to do something that I just have no interest in at all with a girlfriend. And I don't want to say it, because they might be listening exactly what it is, but it's just, I would dread it so much. And I was going to say, you know, make it up an excuse. But no, because then they're going to ask you the next time and the next time and the next time. And then you're
right.
going to start avoiding them. And pretty soon you're avoiding that person altogether.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just good to be
honest.
Be honest.
I always tell
my nice
girlfriend.
Way.
Yeah, I always tell my girlfriend, you know what? I love that you respect me enough to be able to speak that truth and know that I'm not going to stop caring about you. I appreciate that you can be that honest with me. I value that I'm that type of friend to you, that you say to yourself, I can say anything to Maureen and it's not going to hurt our friendship. But doesn't that look better?
Wonderful.
I mean, doesn't that feel better when you're such a good friend that you're honest enough with your friends that they can respect you for that? And if they don't, then are they really that valuable of a friend? Because don't we want our friends to enjoy what they're doing and be happy and not feel like they're obligated to make us happy?
That's what I was going to say, too. Don't we want those kind of friends surrounding us that we can be open and honest with? But I find myself even taking it one step further, which I've got to cut this out immediately, making excuses for when my daughter doesn't want to do something, because I feel like, oh, well, they're going to take offense to if she doesn't want to go and do something. No, I'm going to say she doesn't want to. She has a mind of her own. She doesn't feel like it. She doesn't want to go. I'm not going to force her. She just doesn't want to. So
right.
That both those issues came up today.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that amazing that we're having this conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect timing.
None of it is coincidence. None of it is coincidence. It's something that needed to be spoken, and they wanted you to be able to share that. So, yeah.
That's what I believe.
It's important that we stay true to how we feel. And back to, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. You know, it's that simple. We don't have to make it a complicated thing. Just, it doesn't feel good. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing
it.
It's not bringing me joy. That's not something I want to partake in. If you have friends that every time you meet with them, they, you know, load everything off on you and complain and they're negative, you have a choice whether you want to sit there and listen to it or choose to just walk away and say, I really wish you the best, but, you know, I just don't feel like I can be around this energy, and I just don't feel good when we talk about these types of things.
Okay. Well, that is all wonderful stuff. I want to know, tell the listeners exactly what your book is titled and where we can find it and a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So it is titled, My Dog is More Enlightened Than I Am. There is a lovely picture of myself and my two furry babies, Brody and Jade, on it. It is available at Amazon.com. We are available on Barnes & Noble and also Outskirts Press. So the book is pretty much what we discussed here today, where I talk about some examples of what I've witnessed with my animals and how I integrated that into my life. And I give some of my past experiences that I've dealt with that I'm sure listeners have all had similar experiences in their life, and they take those hints and tips and things that they can now look at their life and say, oh, okay, let me try that and see how that works. So I have so many different things. This one is really about just living your best life and how to be a friend, how to be spontaneous in your relationship, how not to hold a grudge. If you ever notice you go on a trip and you come home, your animals aren't mad at you. They're just jumping for joy that you're home. So they don't hold a grudge that you left them. They're just happy to see you. And so those little tips and tidbits in here is a guide for just taking exactly what our animals do and integrating it into our life.
Okay,
so
I like that a lot.
It's a fun little book.
And, you know, the birds. I was telling you before we started that I'm sitting here watching my birds just play and fuss around their little cage. It's just, it relieves a lot of anxiety. Your mind just goes on them, and it just is really interesting to watch animals. But then take it one step further, you're saying, and learn from them. What are they doing? Are they worrying about their meal? No. But are they happy when they get it? Yes. Oh, look at the new toy. Look at, you don't have to even spend money on a toy. Put a shoelace in there. Look how, I mean, now they're just so happy. Just like,
yes,
all these little things. Yes.
And you're right. It's all animals. It's not specifically just dogs. It's any of our pets. And you're absolutely right. The birds have personalities and they do fun things and they're fun to just watch. A lot of people get fish tanks because it's very relaxing and soothing. And they just sit and watch the fish, and the fish just swim, and it's a calming thing at the end of your day. So, yeah, if you can't have a dog, then get a cat. If you can't have a cat, have birds. If you can't have birds, all
fish.
Sorts of ways, yes, to find
or
that.
Or not only that, if you can't have anything in where you're living, if there's some rules, you can just put outside on your patio or balcony a little hummingbird thing where the hummingbirds can come, and people get so much joy from that.
I have a hummingbird feeder and I love it, and I've named them. I've got Yummy the Hummy, and you know, I love that. Also, and you know, on top of that, I'm glad you said that, on top of that, you could always go to a shelter and you could volunteer at a shelter and get yourself that way, you know. And
that's so funny you said that, Maureen. That is so crazy you just said that, because yesterday I got the form for Priscilla to work at the, well, it's not a shelter, it's Petco, but she can go in, she's only 12, and go in and give her time and be in the cat room and just play with them, feed them, change the litter box, you know. They're volunteers, basically, and I got the form yesterday for her.
See how that works. Love those things that pop up like that. And you know, validate. So, yes.
It really
the
has.
Yeah, they have people at the pound that go and read to the doggies, or, you know, you can walk them, or, you know, there's a lot of rescues that need help cleaning out the cages and just sitting and cuddling the dogs and giving them that one-on-one. I know the Halo Rescue here in Phoenix has a lot of Chihuahuas, and they have a little room where there's like 20 or 30 of these little Chihuahua dogs, and I volunteered there, and it was so much fun. You got to go in this room and have 20 and 30 dogs jumping all over you and cuddling you, and it was so amazing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to get your fill of animals if that's, you know, the option that you take.
And do you also read the actual animal? Because we've had pet psychics that, like, give you messages from your animal, or that there's a problem and they try to fix your animal. Do you do that, or does it just or not?
I don't do that, and I love that there are animal psychics, and I actually was a part of an expo that we do here, and it's called Embracing Your Journey Expo, and there was a psychic sitting next to us, and I said to her, I really want to be able to read animals, and so she said, just like I said, we all have a psychic ability, and we can practice these things, and she said, so this is what you need to do, and you hone in on your animal and you just focus on them, and then it's just like psychic or spirit guide readings or any of those. You start to just focus on them, and whatever comes to your mind, you just let it in. You practice just letting it in and getting these kind of messages, and then she said, then you can go to a pound or to someone else's dog and do the same thing and start practicing that way. See if you can feel what that dog is feeling or that cat is feeling, and kind of a feeling or message from them. And then she said, then you can go to doing pictures. And so it's a practice thing. It's really amazing. She jokingly, I said, you know, I'm a life coach, but I think I channel. And she started laughing, and this was like a year ago, and she started laughing, and she did like air quotes. She goes, okay, you're a life coach. And I go, what do you mean by that? And she's like, Lane, you already have psychic abilities. You do channel. You channel all the time. So it's funny how sometimes there's stigmas where are we afraid to say, oh, I have this gift. You know, you get messages all the time, and people say, oh, it's a coincidence, or I don't know where that came from. That song just came on. Or I thought of someone today and I don't know why. Those are all psychic signals and signs that we're being given. And we just have to be open and accepting to them.
So just be really open to that, because that happens to me a lot. And I love that when you're thinking about somebody and they call that day. That's really cool.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And it's just instinctually going, just go with it. You know, we sometimes, even in meditation, when people get visions, they think, oh, I was just making that up. That was my imagination. No, it really wasn't. It was you being open, and these images that come up are what they're giving you. The spirit world is giving you these, because that's the only way that they can communicate with you. You can hear it, you can see it, you can smell it, whatever. That's how they communicate. So we doubt as humans, because we want to put logic in it and say, oh, I was probably just making that up. No, you weren't.
Wow. And you really stay busy because you have your regular job and then you have your life coaching. How many people can you do at a time, or is it endless?
Oh, it's endless. Yeah, it's amazing. It's, you know, and it's, everything is, you know, and in business is the same, where sometimes, you know, it's feast or famine at times. But I think it really, in this line of work, it's how much people are willing to invest in themselves. You have to spend the money, and you have to take the time to really be committed to showing up and spending that time to work on yourself. And then you have to take the tools and the methods with you and be committed to integrating them in your life to make that change.
We have a lot of people who listen on a regular basis that work really hard on themselves. And so I'm sure we have those people listening tonight. Can you tell them where to find you if they want a life coach? And you're amazing, by the way. This has been very fun and very enlightening. And your energy, just when you speak, I mean, I feel such a positivity from you, and that is so refreshing, isn't it, Johnny?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Oh, thank you so much. I love that you say that. I'm so grateful to you both. This is great. I love spreading the message, and I had to laugh because, Johnny, when I pulled your first card, it was the starfish. And, Barbara, mm-hmm. I don't know if you or Johnny know the story of the starfish.
No.
Do you know the story? So I have to share this with you. Mm-hmm. My mantra, everything that I do, my purpose for doing the life coaching, writing the book, doing podcasts, doing TV appearances and radio shows, my purpose is to spread the message. So the starfish story is this. A little boy was walking along the beach, and thousands of starfish had washed up onto the shore. The sun was out, and it was going to dry up all of these starfish, so the little boy was putting the starfish back into the ocean so they wouldn't dry up. And an old man walks up to the little boy, and he says, well, what are you doing? And the little boy said, well, I'm putting them back into the ocean so they don't die. And the old man says, well, there's thousands of them. You're not going to make a big difference. And the little boy picks up a starfish, throws it into the ocean, looks at the old man, and he says, but it made a difference to that one.
So just one matters.
Yeah, so that's the way that I live. That's the reason that I do this, to help one person. If one person hears the message and decides to realize their greatness and their worth and to live their life differently after they hear the message, then I did what I came here to do.
Oh, yeah, it's all worth it for one. And I think of that in so many other ways, too. Like, I could work all day. Say I'm doing a photo shoot, and some models would say, oh, well, I only got one good shot. Wow! One great, fantastic shot for the rest of your life that is a beautiful image that you're proud of, that you love. That's amazing. I think if you get one good shot, that's amazing. If you get more than that, that's just a bonus. Just like in life with everything, just helping one person, that's worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth a year of work, more than that. It's worth a lifetime, because you could touch that one person, and that person's going to touch another person and another person, and you don't even know. It's like endless what touching one person can do.
It is. I always say I'm the pebble in the lake that creates the ripples, and then the ripples are everyone that touches everyone else after that.
Well, I love that analogy too. So great. Well, we know where to get your book, and that's really going to be interesting to read. And then back to where, if somebody who's listening wants to find you for life coaching, can you tell where is the best place to reach you directly?
Sure. The best place is www.lifecoachmaureen, that's LifeCoachMaureen.com. So www.lifecoachmaureen.com. And I do also do remote coaching, so I can do anyone, anywhere. We can do Skype or duo video or phone, whatever works.
You don't have to actually see them. I know you just said Skype, but that's not really seeing them. You can do it over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very effective.
Oh,
I have a client that's in Utah. I've been coaching for, oh my gosh, quite a while now. She's had about 6 or 7 sessions, and every week we get on and we do the video and anything. I do follow-up emails of recaps of the session and what their goals are, and so it's just like being face-to-face. It's just via video, so it works really good.
I was going to say that, yes, the goals with life coaching, I bet that is something really one of your first things that you tell the people to set, but a lot of people, they don't have goals, and they may have reached so many, and they don't know what's next. Do you help them figure out what is their next passion? What could be their next goal? Like, you know, by listening to where they already are now, what they've accomplished, can you find out, like, what's next for them?
Oh, it's really interesting, Barbara, because people will come and they say, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what job I want. I don't know, you know, it's great. And I always tell everybody, I don't know is an answer. You know, I don't need you
right.
to force yourself to come up with something. So what we'll do is we'll figure out as we go along what it is that makes you passionate. And it's very easy because you'll know by how you feel. And I'll see people light up. I have a client that I've been seeing regularly, a gentleman that I just adore. In fact, he had a session today, and we've reached a point in our, and like I said, we always hit on a whole bunch of different stuff, relationships, self-belief, self-talk, and all that. Well, today's session was about getting some career goals going, and he had no idea what he wants to do, what he should do. And he goes, you know, this is a really good thing to tell people, the premise of a life coach. He said, because, you know, all these people, therapists and counselors and, you know, motivational speakers, they always say, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles takes the first step. He goes, but what they don't say is that first step doesn't, you don't know what the first step is. He said, so that could lead to 365 other steps. And so we started working after he said that, and I said, okay, well, let's figure out what makes you passionate, what makes you happy, what do you want to do? Do you want to get a job that you just kind of meh and this, okay, I got to get a job because I got to pay the bills, or do you want your next goal to be, which is a level up, I want a job that I love that pays the bills. Or do you want to go to the next step and say, I want a job that's going to bring me a lot of money, that's going to bring me a lot of freedom, a lot of happiness that I love. So there's different levels of what goal do you want to achieve? And we literally, in 4 steps, figured out what he is destined to do, what he is passionate about, and what his past experience would qualify him for. And he was just blown away. He's like, I thought this was going to be, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of trying to figure this out. He goes, you literally just did that in 15 minutes. And I said, it's not that hard. All I had to figure out was how do you feel about what you want to do.
Marine,
what you want to do.
I'm telling you, Marine, I have asked that question to so many people, and you are the only one who's ever answered it, ever. Because, yes, manifesting, same kind of question. I would say, okay, well, what if we don't know what we want? How are we going to manifest anything if we don't know what we want? Nobody could ever answer it, but you just did when you said, okay, then if they don't really know, then I start asking them certain questions, like, how do you feel when you do this? How do you feel? And their eyes light up. How do you, you know, and you start to get their motor running and the adrenaline starts pumping, and that's when you find a person's passion. Finally, Johnny, somebody has answered it. Wow.
I love you, Barbara.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I've asked that so many times because I kind of fall into that category. I really do because, you know, I've done the dancing. I competed. I, you know, won the championship twice of the U.S. I mean, you know, okay, I still love dancing, but, like, what am I going to do with it? I mean, I bet if I just talked to you for 15 minutes to 45 minutes, I could figure out, I could start placing goals and making goals and not just go through life just like, well, I'm a mom now, you know, I'm going to get a dog. You know, I think there could be more to it.
I honestly, when you were talking about the dancing and everything that you've done with dancing, literally it like popped into my head and I was like, oh my goodness, she should be a dance teacher or a consultant or get together with other moms, start a meetup group for mom dancers or, you know, all these ideas came to my head. And I'll bet your juices start flowing when you think about that, when you think, oh, I loved dance and I had all these experiences with dance and I was successful and I was great at it. I want to continue that feeling of joy of being involved with dance. And if I can't be dancing, I want to be out there helping others be better at dancing. So that's, you know, it's so easy to just guide us to where we go. Humans just overthink everything. We want to throw logic into everything. And really, it's just, it's simple. Just go by how you feel and where
wow.
your joy is. And if you're, it's an easy spectrum. You know if you're frustrated or if you're excited, if you're sad, if you're happy, if you're exhilarated, if you're bored. I mean, it's very easy to discern where you should go by staying in those places of feeling good.
Wow. I love it. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful. We are so glad that you actually found us, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, then again, there again, Johnny made this title, Life, Laughter, Happiness, and it draws people in. And that's what happened with you, right? You
absolutely.
Saw the title and you reached out to us because of the title of the show. Wow.
I did.
So,
I thought, if that doesn't fit in what I do, I don't know what does.
Right.
Okay. I think we're about out of time. Barbara, do you want to do the shout out?
Yes. Okay, wow, what a wonderful hour this was with Maureen. And we would like you all to seek her out. And one more time, I've got it, www.lifecoachmaureen.com. And,
yep.
you know, write to her, connect with her. She already changed my life. You really just did, because I know that the thing that I'm missing is I haven't created any goals for myself for the last year. And we're in a new year, people, so let's do it. And if you get stuck, there's people to help you like Maureen, and she's waiting for you to contact her and change your life. Take the steps. You only have one where you're in this body, that is. You know, it depends on what you believe, but we have this one life. Let's do something with it. Let's be great. Let's do something that moves us. And let's just do it for 2020.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
The time is now. Seize the day.
Okay.
I love it. Yeah. Okay.
All right, well.
And don't forget to, if you want to hear all of this show again, if you've missed it, you can find it on our Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube, and stop by Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook group page. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you,
okay. Everybody,
for listening.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much,
good night,
Maureen,
Barbara,
for coming.
Good night,
thank you for coming by, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I enjoyed myself immensely. Thank you, Jonathan.